Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during August. And there is so much to cover this month. Let's start with the Perseid meteor shower. These shooting stars are caused when little bits of grit shed by a comet called Swift-Tuttle slam into our atmosphere at 37 miles per second. And every August 12th or 13th, like clockwork, we plow right through this hypersonic stream of dusty debris. So why don't we call these meteors the Swift-Tuttleids? Great question. It's known instead as the Perseids because the meteors all seem to radiate across the sky from the direction of the constellation Perseus. This apparent point of origin, which is actually just a trick of perspective, is called the radiant. The higher in the sky the radiant is, the more meteors you'll see. But you don't need to look at the radiant to spot the Perseids. In fact, the best direction to watch is wherever your sky is darkest, and that's usually straight up. You don't need any special equipment to enjoy the Perseids, but before you head out, grab a folding chair or one of those reclining loungers so you can lean back and look up without getting a sore neck. Take a long-sleeve shirt or a light blanket, too, in case it gets cool. And find a spot that's far away from bright lights, with a clear view all around the horizon. This shower should reach its peak late on Sunday night, August 12th, and Monday morning, the 13th. You might see a Perseid or two as early as 9 or 10 p.m., but the shower doesn't really get going until after 11 or midnight local time, after Perseus rises high in the northeast. The show gets even better in the wee hours as the radiant gains altitude, so consider staying up really late. You'll always see more meteors when there's no competition from the moon, and this year the moon is just a hair past new, so its light is no factor at all. Yay! Now, ordinarily, you might see one Perseid every few minutes if you have good dark skies. But the lack of moonlight makes this an especially excellent year for Perseid watching. In fact, based on observing reports, the Perseids are active for about a month, so don't be surprised if you spot one early or late in August. But this shower has a very strong maximum that lasts about 2 days, and this year it's predicted to peak within a few hours of 9 p.m. Eastern Time on August 12th. So the peak is timed almost perfectly for North America. And again, there's no interference from moonlight. If your sky is good and dark, you might see a Perseid flash into view every minute or two. Look, everyone loves a good meteor shower, and this will be a great year to get everyone you know outside. While you're waiting for the Perseids to show up, you can pass the time by taking in this summer's parade of planets. Start by tracking down Venus, low in the west after sunset. Don't wait too long to find it. Venus has been sinking a little lower each night since June, and now it's only about 15 degrees up when it first comes into view. Sweep your gaze leftward from Venus, past the bright star Spica, and you'll soon come to Jupiter. It's quite obvious, and rather isolated in that part of the southwest sky. Continue sweeping to the left, toward east, by a little more than twice the width of your clenched fist held at arm's length. The bright star you find there is Antares, the heart of the constellation Scorpius. Antares means the rival of Mars, and you should be able to notice that this star has a slightly reddish color. It's actually an enormous red supergiant star about 550 light-years away. Let's try to make out the shape of this celestial scorpion. Look to the right of Antares for a trio of bright stars in a nearly vertical row. Those mark the scorpion's head. Well, to their right is Jupiter, but look very close to Jupiter for a much dimmer star. That's Zubinel Ganubi, the alpha star in the constellation Libra. One fist higher up is a similar-looking star called Zubanesh Shamali. These two stars traditionally mark the scorpion's pincers. In fact, their tongue-twisting Arabic names translate roughly as the Northern Claw and the Southern Claw. Now go back to Antares and look for a chain of fainter stars that trail down to its lower left and then hook upward and end with a close-spaced pair. That's the critter's long tail and stinger. For those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, the closer we live to the equator, the higher up you'll see the scorpion in the sky. Those of you in southern states like Texas and Florida have much better views of it than I do way up here in Massachusetts. Shift your gaze to the left of Antares by a bit more than two fists, and you'll land on the planet Saturn, which is a bit brighter than Antares. Using Saturn as a benchmark, look a little below it for a group of eight medium-bright stars in the shape of a teapot. The handle is on the left, and the spout, tipped down a bit, is on the right. Got it? The whole thing is about the size of your clenched fist. From northern states and Europe, the teapot is only one or two fists above the horizon, so it helps if you look from a spot with a clear, unobstructed view toward the south. Now, when astronomers carved up the sky, they didn't call this the teapot constellation. Instead, you've found the main stars of Sagittarius, the Archer, and you're looking toward the center of our home galaxy. If you're lucky enough to live where the sky is really dark, or if you happen to be on vacation in a rural setting, you'll see puffs of steam coming up from the spout. Those puffs are the countless stars of the Milky Way, which continue upward until they arch overhead and clear across the summer sky. And if you're unlucky enough to live where light pollution is rampant, which is most of us, frankly, you can't see the Milky Way at all. In fact, ask yourself, have you ever seen the Milky Way in all its glory? If not, you really owe it to yourself to get out under a clear, deep black sky this time of year, to see all those stars streaming across the sky like a great river of light. It's a sight you won't soon forget. Now let your gaze slide to the left of Saturn and the teapot, and about three-fifths away you'll be astounded by the brightness of the red planet Mars. It even outshines Jupiter. You probably heard, maybe even in my last podcast, that in late July Mars came its closest to Earth and thus appeared its brightest since 2003. Well, good news. Mars will remain almost as close and almost as bright throughout August. Even better, the orbital motions of Mars and Earth are combining to put Mars a little higher above the horizon as darkness falls each night this month. Phew, that's a bunch of planets. Time it right, which is 30 to 45 minutes after sunset, and you'll be able to see all four of them, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars, in one grand sweep from west to east. And what about Mercury, you ask? Well, it's the odd planet out, hanging around the sun in the pre-dawn sky. If you're up around 5 a.m. or a bit earlier, late this month, look for Mercury peeking above the eastern horizon as morning twilight begins. Let's wrap up with a little more evening stargazing. Turn right from the sunset point so that you're facing roughly north. Once it starts to get really dark, you'll see the Big Dipper hanging from its handle about halfway up. At the end of the handle are four stars forming its bowl. You'll find that your outstretched fist just covers the bowl. Now draw an imaginary line through the bottom pair of stars and follow it toward upper right past the lip of the bowl by about three fists until you reach a medium bright star. That's the North Star, called Polaris, and it shows you the direction toward due north. Go back to the Big Dipper, and this time follow the arc of its handle up and to the left, over in the west, until you come to a star that's quite bright and obvious. That's called Arcturus, and it's the alpha star in the constellation Bootes, the Plowman. Let's say that one together. Bootes. Got it? It's derived from the Greek words for to plow and ox. For more information about all kinds of stargazing, head to skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll go exploring in and around the summer triangle. Until then, I wish you clear skies.